Not looked in my temple, now that's what it's totally about and why it's called Totally Acoustic.
So this first one is this is our current Christmas single.
Ooh.
Yes. Which has sold over 5 copies.
Ooh.
Slightly less than 7 copies, but still, that's right. And this song, I wrote this, this is song that's about what I'm hoping is going to be our Christmas this year. This is song is about having an easy Christmas. It's called Easy Christmas. Let's have an easy Christmas this year, just you and me. Let's have an easy Christmas. We'll get a plastic tree, we'll have a TV dinner and just one present each. We're gonna have an easy Christmas this year. We won't see anybody except maybe on Skype. We won't do decorations except maybe some lights. We won't send Christmas cards except to people that we like. We're gonna have an easy Christmas this year. Alright, we will have some bread sauce and put a wreath on the front door, 2 types of spuds. Then of course we'll listen to Bob Dylan, It Must Be Santa. That's my impersonation of Bob Dylan there. If you've not ever listened to the Bob Dylan Christmas album, I can highly recommend it. If you haven't, just imagine what a Bob Dylan Christmas album would sound like, and that's what it sounds like. We won't start Christmas shopping until November 5th. We'll wait till 6 a.m. before we open any gifts, and then by 9:30 we will all be completely pissed. We're gonna have an easy Christmas this year. Let's have an easy Christmas with just the 12 of us. We'll have an easy Christmas with hardly any fuss. The sound of Santa's sleigh bells makes me relax, because we're gonna have an easy Christmas this year. We're gonna have an easy Christmas this year. Gonna have an easy Christmas this year. And we've actually done, we did a video for our song. That's all right here. We thought, oh, what's the easiest way we can possibly do a video? Oh, we'll get the drummer's kids to film it. It's not the easiest way to do anything. It's not the easiest way to do that. But it turns out that if you get how old are they, like 10 and... children. If you get children to film something, it comes out psychedelic. It's amazing. You just watch a video, it's like, whoa, I'm tripping now. I'm just watching it. It's fantastic. So do look it up online, because no other fucker has. Talking of people from my band, I'd like to introduce you to somebody who'll be coming on later to entertain you, but if you could please welcome to the stage Mr. Frankie Machine, who'll be joining us. You can do whatever you like, I don't mind. So we're gonna do a song. I've never performed this song live before, because
I've only ever played it once.
Yeah, exactly. Every
day we wrote.
It's like jazz, isn't it? Really, it's fantastic. Because what happened is a couple of years ago we said, oh, we must do a Christmas song this year, and I said, I can't be asked. You go and do it. So the Validators went into the studio and recorded some music for a Christmas song, and I put some words onto it, which is all well and good. But Rob is a significantly better guitar player than I am, so I've never actually been able to play it. Because you use like chords and stuff.
Four chords.
I know, 4 chords and stuff. So enjoy all 4 of them. I think the 4 of them. So this is a song that really you write the music to, didn't you? And this song is called The Flashing Santa. The first time I saw it, I couldn't believe how awful it was. Someone in the flats had a 5-foot slanter flashing on their door, and I thought, geez Louise, isn't trick or treat American import enough? And I must admit that the sight of it would flipping wind me up. Every morning, on the way to work, inside my mind I'd murmur, the West Wing, Elvis, Spider-Man, this far, but mate, no further. You're not part of my culture, and you're not part of my Christmas. My nemesis, the flashing Santa. 12 months later, he was back, and this time he seemed to say, "Hey buddy, Chris Kringle here. Happy holidays! And look, I brought some buddies." And sure enough, he had, waving from a Christmas steam engine on the next door flat, there was Rudolph Snowman and the baby Jesus being adored by a donkey. And Santa even seemed to wink at me when a bulb in one eye went wonky. I said, "Look, you're not part of my culture. And you're not part of my Christmas. You're my nemesis, the flashing Santa." By the second week, the entire street had gone illumination mad, like a flashing fluorescent contagion spread from a single flap. People came from miles around, and outside hours they'd ask, "I wonder why this is the only house that's decided to stay dark." So I grappled with my conscience, and by the start of Advent next, I've been down to Argos with signs saying "Happy Xmas" with a pulsing X. He may not be part of my culture, but he's now part of my Christmas. He's our old chum, the flashing Santa. But this year something isn't right. Santa has gone missing. The old guy in the flat has left, and he's taken Santa with him. I've scoured the shops for a replacement, but he must have come from Woolworths. There's nothing like him anywhere, I thought, until I looked on eBay, where I paid above the arms for one that's broken. He said a woman gone long ago, and one of his eyes went open, and now he's back on my front door, and he's making Christmas happen. Our cultured friend, the flashing Santa. The flashing Santa. Christmas wrapping. Thank you very much for bearing with. I won't be doing these songs for at least another 11 and a half months, so that's okay. So thanks so much, and this song is called The Advent Calendar of Facts. Door 1, a robin in a woodland scene.
Door 2,
a parcel with a bow.
Door 3,
a traditional Christmas tree.
Door 4,
a pointless pile of snow.
Door 5,
it's a drunken mob of carol singers.
Door 6,
appears to be a Christmas sock. It's the madness advent calendars bring us, but there's one thing it is not. It's not like the Christmas that I know and like. It's not like any Christmases I've had. Don't bring me advent calendars of falsehood, myth and lies. Bring me the advent calendar of facts.
Door 7,
it's raining all day long.
Door 8,
Westlife at number 1.
Door 9,
a child falls off a brand new bike.
Door 10,
a cat entangled in the Christmas lights.
Door 11,
someone saying let's play trip.
Door 12,
me not escaping to the pub. It may not sound like it, but this is something that I love. Cause this is the Christmas that I know and like. This is all the Christmases I've had. This is not a calendar of falsehood, myth or lies. This is the advent calendar of fact. Right, slightly different now.
13.
Y fronts.
14.
Jumpers.
15.
Receipts kept just
16.
In case.
Ah, 16.
Fruit pants.
17.
Massage tools.
18.
The look on your nan's face. Being drunk at 9 a.m. seems like a good idea always, when combining your family with free wine, whiskey, rum and beer. And this, join me, is the Christmas that I know and like. This is all the Christmases I've had. This is not a calendar of falsehood, myth or lies. This is the advent calendar of facts.
Last verse.
19.
half a jar of cranberry sauce,
20,
a pile of washing up,
21,
highlighter pens and the Radio Times,
22,
a tape we'll never watch,
23,
burnt brandy on a Christmas pudding that no one wants to eat,
24,
walnuts to watch the film with and then falling fast asleep, 'cause this is the Christmas that I know and like. This is all the Christmases I've had. This is not a calendar of falsehood, myth or lies. This is the advent calendar of facts. The calendar of
So for our second act this evening and our first guest, I'd like to introduce you to gentleman who's played Tony Kuczyk several times, and a gentleman who's played on stage with some of the finest rock artists in this room. a gentleman who I've known for
over 10 years,
over 20 years since we were both five. You've already heard him once this evening, and now you're going to hear him several more times with his own lilting tones. Please welcome Frankie Machine.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mark. I'd like to thank you especially for being so bloody ramshackle at whatever I do now. Bearing in mind, I don't play many gigs, and I haven't played one for at least a year. So, when I was a young boy, my sister subscribed to a magazine called Just 17. Uh-huh. And obviously to a pubescent boy, this was quite a terrifying thing to read in my sister's bedroom when she wasn't there. And they used to have they used to do like quizzes where you'd have to answer the questions, and then there was one quiz one week where it was, if you fancy a boy, get him to fill this quiz in and he'll tell you whether he'll be a good boyfriend or not. So I remember filling this in and then trying really hard to come up with the right answers, thinking that, you know, when I get a girlfriend, I'll be brilliant. Obviously, it worked. Happily married eventually. So it's called My Perfect Valentine. To 15, I should work on my personal hygiene. So then I got wise, I threw in a few lies. I got 30 to 35. I'm what every girl needs in her life. There's only one of me, that's all there needs to be. One day you might disagree. Tell me, one is one too many? One is one too many? One is one too many? I took the test, there were answers that I guessed, so I got mostly A's. I should probably try and change my ways. So I did it once more, I adjusted my score, so I got mostly D's this time. I'm amazing, I'm the perfect Valentine. There's only one of me, that's all there needs to be. You might disagree. Tell me, one is one too many. One is one too many. One is one too many. My sister knows
the answers that I chose. Means the 13-year-old brother is the patient, considerate lover. There's only one of me, that's all there needs to be. Someday you might disagree and say one is one too many.
So this next song is about when I was talking to a friend, and he said that he was doing a philosophy degree, and he was his lecturer had sent him a friend request on Facebook. So before he accepted it, he was sort of looking at his profile, and he realised that the philosopher lecturer's daughter was a girl who he fancied at school when he was a kid, and he'd written her a poem. And she laughed in his face, and he was terribly, terribly distressed about this. And he'd forgotten about it until that moment, and he was sort of saying, "Oh, it just was one of the worst moments of my life." And it kind of reminded me of that thing where you find someone really physically attractive, but they've got absolutely nothing in common with you, kind of culturally or artistically. But growing up listening to the Smiths and things, you think that's the most important thing. So you try and impress girls with things like poetry and songs, and so really it's a song about somebody disrespecting your artistic soul. And it's called Emotional Graffiti, but there's probably a more obvious title, but it's not going to get laid on the radio. I'll get number one if I give it this more obvious title. Exist. Soul is a word a poet invented to explain our state of consciousness. And I've never met anyone so cynical. An undeserving ugly being, metaphysical. And I wrote you a poem, you said the rhymes were ridiculous. Where you saw cheese, I tender wistfulness. You read every line back to me, and you took each one apart. You might as well have drawn a cock and balls on the heart. From Queen, it's unthinkable now. Back then, no one knew. That's why I grew a moustache for you. Never met anyone so beautiful that I did so many stupid things to make myself seem more suitable. And I wrote you a song. You said the tune was well disguised, and you laughed in the verses and in the chorus. You rolled your eyes, you sang it back to me, and it just tore me in half. You might as well have sprayed F-U-C-K on the heart.
I drew your portrait, but you held it upside down. You said, what on earth is it? Am I supposed to be some sort of haunted clown? Are you starting a movement? Because you should call it infant school art. You might as well draw a cock and balls on the heart.
And I'm going to do a Christmas song. My
Yay.
Christmas song. Should I put a hat on?
Yes!
So, what Mark knows about me and Christmas is that it's actually on Tuesday is my birthday. And growing up, I was always a bit puzzled as to why my birthday never seemed like a big deal compared to. I don't take no photos. Never seemed like a big deal compared to everybody else's birthdays, because everyone was just bothered about Christmas. And then as I got older and more angry, I was like, you always give me joint presents, that sort of thing. But so it's become a bit of a running joke in our family that I hate Christmas. When I don't really, but it's just around having a birthday near Christmas, which is a bit weird. And we were on holiday one year, and we got talking to this lady at the bar, who was a widow, a retired lady, and she was just talking about her holidays, and she said, oh, I'm going to come away at Christmas as usual, because my husband died on Christmas Day, and he was the landlord of the pub. They had a pub together, and he was the landlord, Ken, and she said, yeah, so Christmas is a bit funny because it always feels like something's overshadowing the occasion. I said, yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it. Which was apparently quite an insensitive thing to say. But anyway, she found it funny. But as it turned out, Ken apparently didn't much like Christmas, was a bit of an old Scrooge. And as he knew he was dying, obviously, and he said, I just want to make it to Christmas. If I can make it to Christmas, it will be okay. And so they hung on in there. And then on Christmas Day, she was in the hospital. And she was obviously quite upset. She was telling this story. And she said, I said to Ken, you can't die on Christmas Day because it's going to ruin Christmas for me forever. And Ken just sort of came, his eyes flickered. And he just went... I know, isn't it amazing? Or words to that effect. So this is my Christmas song, and it's called I'm Gonna Kill Myself for Christmas. My birthday is near Christmas, and I know this for sure, that a birthday near to Christmas is no birthday at all. No, it never feels special, and it's always the same. If your birthday's near to Christmas, then I know you feel my pain. I'm gonna kill myself for Christmas to see how you like that. Pour crackers at my funeral and make the vicar wear his party hat. My birthday is in December, and I'd love to see you, but it's always the same night as someone's work Christmas do. So you take me to a restaurant and have the special three course, where even the ice cream comes with cranberry sauce. I'm going to kill myself for Christmas to mark this special day. Put tinsel round my casket and sing carols at my wake.
Oh Santa, I can feel the snow falling over my head. And if I climb into an empty sledge, oh well, enough said. I'm going to kill myself for Christmas. It's the perfect time to go, and I've already written my own eulogy. It's 5 words. Ho 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 ho.
Thank you.
It's one of my great rock and roll heroes. I'm sure he's going to Christmas rock you until you fall over. Please welcome Mr. Chris T.T. Yeah.
Whenever I walk on a London street, I'm ever so careful to watch my feet, and I keep to the squares and the masses of bears who wait on the corners all ready to eat. The sillies who tread on the lines on the street go back to their lairs, and I say to them, bears, look at how I'm treading on all your squares. And the little bears growl to each other, he's mine, as soon as he's a silly and he steps on a line. And some of the bigger bears try to pretend that they just came round the corner to look for a friend. And they try to pretend that nobody cares whether you tread on the lines or the squares. But only the sillies believe their talk. It's ever so important how you walk. And it's ever so jolly to say to the bears, look at how I'm treading on all your squares. So if ever I walk on a London street, I'm ever so careful to watch my feet. This next song, do you guys know the Nick Cave song where he's... he says, Into Your Arms, it's called, where he starts off by saying, I don't believe in an interventionist God, but I know, darling, that you do. It's just an amazing opening line for a song, and I always wanted to achieve that kind of opening line. And this is the closest I've ever got, so I'm really proud of it, but I acknowledge it's not in any way as good. But this is a, this is another Winter Miserable song, and it's about a meteor that landed in Siberia in 1908, and it's called Tunguska. So check out the opening couplet, because it's fucking good. And I also have tempo issues. I've got to figure out how fast it is, because it's a piano song. If this is a winter,
winter of you in the air. They say what remained of Tunguska after it smashed in resembled a butterfly with a 70-kilometer wingspan. I wish I was an architect. I wish you had nothing. I wish I was a sculptor and kept molding your whole world in my hand. And if this is a winter of you and me, and you, you are a meteor, and I'm 80 million trees. If this is a winter of how you feel, it won't stay cold forever. In a hardcore band, I wish I was in Glasgow or Kerala or Vancouver or wherever I was meant to go. If this is Tunguska, we're done. But if this is a winter, spring comes. And if this is a winter of you and me, and you, you are a meteor, and I'm 80 million trees. Yeah, this, this is a winter of who I am. Can't stay cold forever, but you can, you can, you can. I kind of feel like great, actually, I feel great. When I was growing up, when I was really small, my sister was, she had a subscription to this, but it was Bunty, so I was a lot less. However, I did really develop one of my first ever crushes was on one of the villains in the Four Marys. Does anyone know Bunty magazine?
Yeah, yeah, well, she had that before, just 17. Yeah. That was a real sea change of my life.
So in Bunty, they had a cartoon strip, which was the Four Marys, which was girls in a posh girls' school. And they had two villains, and they had, like, ugly villain names. And I know, sorry if this is anyone here, but one of them was called Ursula. Mm. And I really fancied Ursula. So, like, one of the first people ever, like, sort of cerebrally understood I had a crush on. The other one was, if anyone's read Swallows and Amazons, in the book, the whole series of Swallows and Amazons, there's, like, about 9 or 10 of these books. And halfway through, they stopped being in the Lake District and they go to the Norfolk Broads. And in Norfolk Broads, they met a girl who had, like, big tennis racket things on her shoes, which meant she could walk on mud. God, I really fancied that. That was, like, one of the first people I fancied as well.
It's a good skin.
Does that have any bearing, or are you just...
No, it doesn't. I just reminded me of all my songs are horrible, so I thought... I just did a little mini tour of it was mainly of Scotland with my band, and we went to Cambridge first, because that's obviously logical if you're going up to Scotland. You'll play Cambridge the night before you play Glasgow. And in Cambridge, halfway through, we were rocking, like, it was a proper rock set, and halfway through, someone just shouted out, "More Bleak!" Bury me with a scarab. The one I carry for luck is 2,000 years old. Bury me with a wooden Buddha, stretched out ears and a smile of gold. cross of Jesus on that photograph soaked in piss. But bury me with an internet connection for when you start regretting that it came to this. 1-0, 2-0, 2-0, 3. You better nail that coffin lid down on me. 1-0, 2-0, 2-0, 3. I'm not as dead as you thought I'd be. Bury me with a guard of honour, a pipe and a drum and a dumb salute. Or in a ditch when the storm's upon us, no one gives a shit about the rotten fruits. Bury me however you like, rituals or bonfires, knock yourself out. Bury me deep and keep on running, it won't be deep enough, no there's no doubt. 1-0, 2-0, 2-0, 3. Be. It's always uphill all the way, but uphill all the way back. Never will you ever find a corner worth cutting on the way. That road's a trap. Now just when I finished that last verse, something fell out my guitar. A shiny black, massive black spider. Yeah, nature is having the last laugh. And now that we're getting near the chorus, I'm not gonna sing it again. I'm not going back to telling the story till I know where the spider went. It's always uphill all the way, then uphill all the way back. Never will you ever find a corner where cutting on the way that road's a trap. You're always outside looking in, or inside looking out. Never will you ever find a corner where cutting on the way. There is no doubt, there is no doubt, so. So anyway, they buried me, nailed it down. My hands were tied and they cut my hair. But in the spring, when they come back, they can dig all they like. I'm not there. you've been lovely. I love playing. So I've had some very strange, different experiences doing totally acoustic, and I currently have a live album out on the internet where more than a quarter of the entire live album is from one of these totally acoustics, because it was one of my favourite things. And then, but I also had one where, when my wife goes in the plane, when she goes fly somewhere, while she's in the sky, I go. I have a very difficult time while she's in this. I don't particularly miss her when she's away, but when she's, I do, but not dangerously. But you know, we're good apart. But when she's actually on a plane, I find it really difficult. And I do remember really vividly doing this gig in this room 2 or 3 years ago, at a point where she's in, and having this really psychedelic, genuine sort of psychedelic experience while I was singing. Where each song got rewrote itself in my head as I was singing it about her it being in a plane and not good. And it was really intense. So I've had like both really, really amazing and really terrible experiences. Well, not terrible, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I've had really terrible experiences. And this one's really nice, so thank you. You rescued me from last time. So that was the last time. I did, yeah. So you can find it at chrisatt.com and you can find loads of music. Or not, because music's dead, really, isn't it? I'll try and get into web development, but it's so boring. and I have a radio show as well, if you like quiet music of different types, so you can find that, which is a weekly late-night radio show, which is proper radio, and it's really good. That's called The Midnight Campfire. So look out for that. and thank you very much for having me. Yeah, I've collapsed at the end of this gig. I don't, yeah. So this is... this is a song called Seven Hearts. It's my friend Mr. Spoon's in the back there. I might even do one after this, if that's... Oh, am I pushing it? No. But I won't talk. Born with seven hearts, each one bigger than a dinosaur. From this morning inside me, the doctor said I could survive. They worked all night on my insides, made my heart beat tidy. But there was more bad news to come. Never fall in love, they said. You can't have feelings if you let someone get too close. Your seven hearts explode, and bits of you are in the ceiling. You have to leave this sinful town, my mum said to me.
Totally Acoustic, a lovely night and a lovely way to end the series. That was the last one for this little batch. Don't worry though, in case that's the sort of thing you worry about, we do have a extras show next month, when it will be extra tracks from all the acts you've played over the course of the series, all compiled into one big show. And then we're back in February. I've just put all the dates, well, the tentative dates, I'm hoping they'll work out, and all the acts booked so far up on the webpage, which is www.totallyacoustic.com. And and it will all be back at the King Queen. So hopefully see you there. In the meantime, thanks very much for listening, and have a lovely Christmas.